I want to tell you about a new podcast called Amuse News. Publishing multiple days a week, Amuse News is your source for food news, interviews from around the food world, and more. On the show, we'll be engaging with food storytellers, from chefs to advocates to people working in the field, and many more. Find Amuse News wherever you get your podcasts. Amuse News is a destination for everyone who's looking for a new, insightful look into the world of food.
Today's show is sponsored by Bob's Red Mill. With natural foods, they support organic, vegan, paleo, and gluten-free lifestyles. Learn more about their commitment to good food for all at bobsredmill.com/podcast.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. We're a member-supported food radio network broadcasting over 35 weekly shows live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. Join our hosts as they lead you through the world of craft brewing, behind the scenes of the restaurant industry, inside the battle over school food, and beyond. Find us at heritageradionetwork.org.
Good evening and welcome to
Fun Men About It
on HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
I'm Mary Izette.
I'm Chris Kuzmi.
And I'm Rachel Jacobs.
And we're your co-hosts through this weekly journey of all things fermented.
Archived on Stitcher, iTunes, and right here on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. I think this is episode 194. It is Monday, the 20th of February, and we are super excited for today's episode. But before we get there, we're really excited about life happenings. Today at the brewery, I got my floors finally completed. I'm really excited about that. You have no idea. Rachel's giving me the look, but I am so excited
now
about
I
my floors.
You with those
it's
floors,
such
yeah.
an important thing. Our drains are in, and now I can get back to the power washing. I do so enjoy our walls. Still need some cleaning, but I'm able to get my stuff shipped. And anyway, I'm very, very excited about that. But outside of that, there's all sorts of events happening here in the city. I know we've been talking about it for a couple of weeks, but the New York City Fermentation Festival is rapidly approaching. It is coming up this weekend on February 25th, which marks the second day of New York City Beer Week. One thing that's pretty fun today is pretty special when I've had an Instagram takeover by some of the vendors that are participating. And today, Hawthorne Valley Farm has taken over our Instagram. That's at NYC Firm Fest, and such amazing pictures have been coming out of this kind of takeover thing. Things that I can't do from the city. Like today, there was a picture of one of the farm's cows that produces a lot of the milk for their yogurts and cheeses, and it was just a beautiful, beautiful picture. I can't tell you how excited about this festival I am. So many good things. Go to nycfermentationfestival.com to find out more information about the festival. Tickets are still for sale. You can also come decide the day of. There will be tickets available at the door. The door is in Greenpoint, Brooklyn, at the Brooklyn Expo Center. There'll be 30-plus vendors. There'll be 10 seminars. There'll be 10 homebrew clubs, 45 different homebrews to taste. Among them is a homebrew competition where 40% of the grist on these beers are made with surplus bread. You can buy items to go. You can buy fermentation gear to ferment at home. There's going to be a little kids' corner. Mary's starting to sow some pickles for that. We're making some games for that.
Very making beanbag vegetables yep. to toss in the mason jar.
There's going to be some specialty cornhole.
Yep, great. So I got to paint those and fix those up. Anyway, I got a lot on my plate the next few days for it because everything's leading up to it. Very excited about it. As I said again, second day of New York City Beer Week. All sorts of stuff is happening there. Go to nycbeerweek.com to find out any of the beer-centric events that are happening throughout the week, and that's stuff to happen.
And before that, this Wednesday, I'm giving another mending class. So if you are curious about how to mend your own clothes instead of donate or throw them away, it will be at Strong Rope Brewery in Gowanus this Wednesday from 7 to 9 or 9:30.
I'm wearing my favorite pants right now.
That were darned.
You said they were done, but you sewed a hammer on them. I'm happy about that. And then once again, we are hosting the regionals National Homebrew Competition here in town. We're going to do it at Kings County Brewers Collective. If you are a BJCP judge or and or you would like to steward and help see what happens at these festivals or these competitions, we can use your help. Go to brewingcompetition.com. Pretty sure that is what it is. Or go to the American Homebrewers Association and find out more information about the National Homebrew Competition. We can use your help. It will happen on March 24th and 25th at Kings County Brewers Collective. The weekend after, I host a big old sausage party, sausage and beer party with my friend Tyson Ho at Arrogant Swine. And you can go to joshuaandbernstein.com about that. That'll be an afternoon of sausage and beer for a low price of $45.
And I also meant to include that we will have a Ferment About It table at the Fermentation Fest. And I have made a jasmine green tea. So I fermented, I'll have three fermented beverages pouring, a jasmine green tea, a... Ooh, I'm going to do a blueberry violet short mead, I think. I made a blueberry short mead, and then I actually found some violet at this really cool supermarket in Elmhurst. We were in Elmhurst, Queens on Saturday doing...
Malaysian food pop-up.
Yeah, well, we started with Indonesian Food Bazaar, which is a monthly food pop-up at the St. James Church in Elmhurst. It's absolutely amazing, especially if you haven't had that much exposure to Indonesian food. We've all had satay, probably, but there's such an amazing amount of fermented... Or no, good food, but also some that's fermented. We had a fermented cassava, and I can't remember the name of it. I should have written it down. But basically, you cook cassava. Cassava is a root similar to, I don't know, what would you guys say? Like potatoes. It's, you know.
Is that also a yuca?
Yeah, like it's a root vegetable. So you cook it, and then they actually add, usually it's kind of a yeast bacteria mixture, but you could also just use yeast. Wikipedia calls it an alcoholic paste, and that was actually a very accurate description.
You could taste the alcohol, the ethanol.
It was really cool. I've never had anything like it, and it seems really easy to make. At the same superstore that the same supermarket, man, I can't even talk. At the same supermarket that I picked up this jar of violets, dried violets,
the flower.
Yeah,
like how I also make picked candy
up,
from it.
Yeah, I also picked up some dried chrysanthemum to do something with as well.
Oh, that
something
makes good
fermented.
Teas.
But I also picked up some red yeast rice, which I've never seen before. But I'm hoping to make like a red rice wine with it or something similar. And then I picked up some yeast balls as well to make rice wine or something else with.
That supermarket was pretty amazing. I mean, they were selling live frogs and turtles for, you know, for consumption. It was pretty worldly. It was
that's
like
a U.S. supermarket in Elmhurst.
And I've never
if you
seen
go.
Such a diverse display of fish balls.
Yep.
It's kind of my nightmare place. I'm not a fish ball.
But I'm also going to do some cashew cheese, and I'll have some. I'm going to do a cider too. I think I'm going to serve a hop cider. I haven't decided what I'm going to do with it. I'm going to flavor it at kegging. And do some cashew cheese. I'm going to do probably some short mead demos at the booth, as well as talk about how to make cashew cheese and some other ferments. So,
yeah. And while I will not be there, I'll be leaving
Very
my mark.
Sad.
Yeah, sorry. I'll be running a half marathon at Disney World instead. Sorry. Can't change that. But I will be leaving behind a couple of favors for you guys if you want to stop by the Ferment About It booth. I'll be leaving. I made a blackberry and peppercorn short mead that one of you guys should be pouring, and some mozzarella cheese, some fresh made mozzarella cheese, as well as if I haven't ruined it already, some cashew cheese.
All right.
Yeah.
Whose voice was that? That was amazing. What is this wondrous melody from my ear, my left ear? I've got one headphone that works here. Also at this festival, we're going to start with one, and not well, you can do it, we can get to your announcement whenever you want, but we have in studio Kadeem O of Mama O's Kimchi.
Woo!
And we are so excited that you are joining us for the festival. Mary and I are big fans. We've had your kimchi for years, but we're going to pretend that you've never been on Heritage Radio Network, because we don't always have a lot of crossover, but you've actually been on three times,
right? But I've never been on this show.
Yeah, right.
And
exactly.
This is, you know, Ferment About It. Come on.
Yeah,
come on.
Ferment About It over here. But we're going to talk about your story and where you're from, but we can announce this
oh, yeah,
this kind of thing.
But also, I just wanted to talk about the Fermentation Festival, because so we'll be there with a booth for Mama O's, but then also we're going to have a make-your-own kimchi station, so you can come and for free make as much kimchi as you want, and then put it in a bag and take it home, and then watch it ferment, and then this way you'll see, like, firsthand how easy it is to ferment, and you'll really see how easy it is to make kimchi too.
And you've done this at several of other events, including your own You have Kimchi Palooza.
Right, which was at Tyson's Arrogant Swine. Yeah, which was like super fun. I missed you there, but that was probably because I was drinking heavily.
but you were hosting. That was pretty. It was pretty intense. Kimchi eating. So what happens at Kimchi? Tell us about Kimchi Palooza. What happens at Kimchi Palooza?
So Kimchi Palooza is a festival celebrating all things kimchi, and I also have the Mama O's Super Spicy Kimchi Eating contest, where it's however much super spicy kimchi made with the ghost pepper that you can eat within 3 minutes. And if you do that, you're the Mama O's Super Spicy Kimchi Eating Champion of the universe. Because, I mean, how many of these can there be in the universe, right?
Indeed, indeed. In the universe.
In the universe.
Interplanetary kimchi. I'm not sure. Yeah.
Is
not sure
there
what the
a
market's
record?
Like out there.
I've had a three-peat champion. Wayne Elgenio, and so I'm retiring him.
He's insane.
Yeah, amazing. He's actually the Guinness World Record holder for eating scorpion peppers. But yeah.
I watched that too. Jiren, you saw that too.
Yeah, that's terrifying. But I'm retiring him from this competition, so to give everyone else a chance to claim the crown. And also, this was the first year that I partnered with my friends at Color Me Bushwick. And I had bands, and the bands played, and it was just so much fun. And so check it out next year. It's in the summer, 2018 or 17.
The bands were crushing. 2017. Welcome. Yeah. So it's 2017, and tell us about Mama O's Kimchi. When did you start it? What is your background? How'd you get into fermentation? We have a lot of time, so you.
Oh, okay.
Tell
sure.
It like
yeah.
We like long form storytelling. Go for it.
All right. Okay. Hold on. Me. I got into fermentation by I wouldn't say accident, but it wasn't a deliberate thing. I needed kimchi for myself. This is back in about 2008, because all the stuff out there it was trash, and it would be full of MSG or just tasted kind of not right, too sweet. And so I needed it for myself, so I asked my mom to teach me how to make it. And
why would your mom know how to make it?
Because my mom is super Korean.
I wanted to say that because your voice is not super Korean, or you didn't pick up her accent. Or
yeah, and okay. My name is Kadeem, and that's my mom named me. Okay. And funny side note is that my best friend, who I moved up here with in Brooklyn, he was half Minnesotan, half Moroccan, looked totally white, and his name was Kareem.
So Kareem and Kadeem.
Kareem and Kadeem at the party. Yeah. Okay. All right. Cool, guys. So I asked her to teach me how to make it because my folks live in Maryland, so I'll take the Chinatown bus. And I would, whenever you make kimchi at home, you make like a 50-pound box at a time. And so at that point, I couldn't afford a taxi back to my place, so I'd wheel it back to my house on my skateboard. And I live by myself, so it's too much to eat by myself, so I give it away to my friends. And they're like, oh, this is great. You should sell it. And I didn't really think too much about it. I thought, you know, yeah, cool. But I was getting some ribs to eat Korean barbecue. You guys like Korean barbecue?
Yes,
yeah.
We do.
It's the best. I mean, especially if you're lazy, because you don't even get up. You just grill right at the table.
Yeah.
Lazy
chefs. Yeah. Let's do it ourselves.
And my butcher was like, oh, you eat that with some kimchi and rice, you eat like a king. And I'm like, who are you telling, 50-year-old Jewish guy with the ponytail? I was like, what you know about kimchi? He's like, oh, I used to work at a Korean place. I love it. I was like, oh, okay, cool. I make it. And I brought some by. I checked up on it. I was like, what'd you think? He was like, I love it. And then this is exactly what I said. I said, you know, I sell this shit. And then he said, I want to start carrying it. So then after that, I was like, oh shit. You know, I got to come up with a name, incorporate, get insurance, yada, yada, yada. And so end up coming up with the name Mama O's, because got to give props to moms.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And so for a few months, I lit up my building, like, every time I made kimchi. Like, the people, like, I live in a 5-story building. I'm on, like, the second floor. Uh-huh. But the people on the fifth floor knew when I would make kimchi. and, uh, and did that for a few months, then moved to a commercial kitchen, moved to like Kelly Geary's kitchen, Sweet Deliverance.
Yeah.
Moved to another place, bounced around, ended up in Jersey, then ended up at a my friend's husband's restaurant in New Jersey, and then pit stop in Ridgewood, Queens, where I was making it in the back of a deli. And then now I'm in the good old Pfizer building in Bushwick.
That's right.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. It is 10:15. We're going to take a really quick break, and we'll be right back with Kimo of Mama O's Kimchi. Mama O's premium kimchi.
Formatabare.
Over here.
Bob's Red Mill has been milling whole grains since 1978. When you mill whole grains, you get all three parts, the bran, the germ, and the endosperm. The bran, or the roughage, makes up about 14% of the whole grain. It's the outer skin of the edible kernel. It contains large amounts of B vitamins, some protein, trace minerals, phytochemicals, but most importantly, dietary fiber. The germ is only about 2.5% of the kernel. It's actually the sprouting section of the seed, what's going to grow into a plant. It's usually separated during milling process because it contains most of the fat and therefore has a shorter shelf life. The endosperm is the main energy storage unit of the seed. That's where the growing plant gets its energy before it can start photosynthesizing and making its own. It makes up a huge portion of the grain, about 83%, and it's the main source that's used for white flour. When you make white flour, you get rid of the germ and the bran and just have the white endosperm left. It contains almost all the carbohydrates. It also contains protein and iron and some of the other B vitamins as well. It's kind of what you classically think of when you're thinking of flour. So all that's there when you're milling with whole grains, but when you mill with whole grains, you also get the bran, which is the kind of roughage and gives that, that's what gives that kind of color to it. Also gives you extra fiber that helps you to be regular. And you also get the germ, which adds the fat and the flavor, which we all like from whole grains. Learn more at bobsredmill.com/podcast.
Welcome back to Foment About It on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. We are here in the studio with Kadeem O of Mama O's Premium Kimchi.
Yep.
What's your hashtag or what's your Instagram, Twitter? Look at some.
Oh, Mama O's Kimchi.
Mama O's Kimchi.
Pretty simple.
Website kimchirules.com.
That's right.
Because that's what you believe, and we're right there with you, but. A lot of times we think.
So we were just talking about when we took the break. So I grew up in the rural Midwest, and I don't think I had kimchi until I was probably in, I'm going to say early, mid-30s. Mm. Like, probably early 30s. And it's something that I must have first encountered at a restaurant. And then, you know, I've seen it like H Mart is the big Korean market that's, you know, in many places across the country. And you could buy it in big things there. But when I originally thought kimchi was just this one thing to me, this like spicy fermented cabbage thing.
Right.
But when I started looking into it and we started making it at home, it's a whole different, like it's much more complex. So talk about what kimchi is.
Okay, so kimchi basically in Korean means pickle. So there are hundreds of types of kimchi, and most times when people think about kimchi, they're thinking about the spicy kind made with Napa cabbage. But then there's also, it's called spring kimchi, pet kimchi, white kimchi, kimchi for white people, because it's totally, there's no spice in there. or it's called water kimchi, mul kimchi. There are three different names for it, but it's all the same thing. And full disclosure, when I was a kid, I couldn't eat kimchi, like the regular kimchi, because it was too spicy for me. So Mama O had to dip the kimchi in the water, wash it off, and that's how I ate kimchi. So I was a total wuss, yes.
See it unspiced, pickled.
Yes, I had, yeah. I mean, I like slightly despiced kimchi. And, but there's the, you know, you can just kimchi about almost any vegetable. There's cucumber kimchi, daikon kimchi is really popular. It's in Korean, it's gakdugi. Try spelling that in English. Hey, I mean, we can't even come up with like one way to spell kimchi. So gakdugi, forget about it. And then, there's so many different kinds, and now what's really kind of interesting too is like there have been a lot of American kimchis where people are just like playing around with it, like kohlrabi kimchi, Kale. Kale's a little harder because it's the water content is as high. But I think that's, you know, kind of the fun in it is like, oh, hey, I got these veggies. They're about to go. Let me do something with it to make it last longer and better, because that's what the amazing thing about kimchi and really fermenting is, that it's 1 and 1 equals 3, because it takes vegetables and preserves them for a longer time, but then through the magic of fermentation makes it more nutritious, where all the B vitamins, the vitamin K, the calcium that didn't exist naturally in the vegetables is created as a byproduct of fermentation.
And also more delicious.
More often. Delicious. Yeah. It's vibrant. We're so, taking that assumption. Really quick, right? Cause just because we're right in there. So you did vegetables that are about to go. In your experience, are they better at any certain stage? Or is kimchi better at a certain stage of a vegetable's life?
Oh, in the vegetable life.
Or does it make a big difference as long as you get
You know what? I mean, I really love trying to get the peak of the intersection of fresh and fermented. Mm-hmm. So fresh is always great, but like sometimes different vegetables hold up in different ways. So yeah, I can't say one way or the other, because like let's say with like daikon, if it's fresh, it's great, but then also there's like air-dried daikon, and then fermenting that's like super delicious too. So it's really up for grabs.
It depends on the vegetable and its to taste of the fermenter.
Yeah, and what you're trying to get, because the end product is totally different.
Right. You can't re-crisp something that's lost crisp, right?
Exactly. It's like trying to desalt your soup or
unbake a cake. So let's talk about rules of kimchi. So since kimchi, there's hundreds of different types. Mm-hmm. Are there some basic kind of guidelines, or are there ingredients that are in almost every kimchi?
I think the basic guideline is that it has to be, so it's a pickle, so it's naturally fermented.
And lacto-driven.
Yes, absolutely. So it's salted and brined. However, when I make daikon kimchi, I don't brine it at all. Cauliflower kimchi is awesome because it's super easy. You just mix it. So I make the stuff kimchi paste for making kimchi at home. And basically it's everything minus the fresh vegetables, the chili pepper, garlic, ginger, salt, sugar. And I use lime juice. That's kind of a Mama O's thing. Kimchi, it's important that kimchi, it's fermented and there's some acidity to it, because the kimchi serves a function. It serves as the acidity cuts through like rich sauces and meats, and also will like complement like the blandness of rice. So if it hasn't fermented, then it's just kind of, spicy cabbage. And the lime juice, I think it gets it there faster, like as far as like getting that, dropping the pH and getting the acidity in.
Cool. Yeah. So talk about your kimchi paste. So one thing about kimchi at home is that it does take some kind of specialized ingredients that if you don't, now in New York City, we can obviously get those ingredients, but you don't have easy access to those ingredients. You might have to order them online. But your kimchi paste, and then, it does take a degree of mixing, and it's a little bit, I feel like you have to kind of tweak it to get it really where you want it. But your paste is
totally
the answer, I think.
well, the reason I came up with it is because I needed a way to make the kimchi more quickly and consistently. Because when I first started doing this, making it at home with my mom, it's just all hand measures, take a handful of this, throw it in, mix it, taste it. So we reverse engineered a recipe. And as you know, with kimchi or fermenting anything, it doesn't taste like it tastes in the end how it does in the beginning. So the trick is to know how to make it taste in the beginning, so it's going to predictably taste how you want it in the end. And that's kind of the big challenge, because I think people they try and make it taste too much like how they think it should taste immediately.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And it's going to change. I mean, it's going to become more acidic and go through this process where the lacto is converted, you know.
Right, right.
It's creating all these other aromas and flavors that aren't there at the beginning.
Right. And what's super fascinating is that it's being changed on the molecular level. It's not like this kind of glossing it over, hey, you know, spray it with some lemons, you know, lemon pledge, you know. It's right. Like at the very basic molecular level that it's getting changed. And so with the paste now, what normally takes about 3 hours to do at home, you can do it in under 5 minutes of prep time. So it's really super easy. And and I think, yeah, it's if you're interested in making kimchi, this is like a really easy and I like to call them me-proof way to make it. Yeah. Because this is the exact same stuff that I use to make all the different kimchis that I sell to like stores like Whole Foods, Dean and DeLuca, Williams-Sonoma, yada, yada.
I actually just met somebody the other day who does the same thing for himself. Instead of making a bunch of kimchi at one time, he'll make a bunch of paste and save the paste in the same way for so that he can just, you know, at the end of a work day on a Friday or after, mm-hmm. as a CDSA goes bad, he doesn't have to make the paste anymore. He just does it really quickly and gets it. He has it just in bulk. He found a recipe he likes and does that same thing. You don't use fish.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that. So you have something called the quote unquote like the kosher kimchi.
Yeah.
It doesn't use shellfish at all.
Yeah, well, the funny thing about kosher kimchi is it was just a stupid inside joke because there's no fish or shellfish in there, so it's kosher, but I didn't get certified, so it wasn't kosher. And I somehow assumed people would know that kosher meant it was vegan, but anyhow, I renamed it to vegan, and now I'm going for my OU certification.
Oh my god.
Yeah. That's great.
And
high end texture there.
Yeah, well, it's not glatt, but I don't do dairy. I do make kimchi with fish sauce in there, but I don't do any like shrimp paste because no one's just slightly allergic to shellfish, and just the danger of cross contamination is too high. So I don't, you know, I'm not trying to kill anybody.
That's good.
That's very nice.
Yeah. Hey, so, Mama is not going to kill you.
Yeah, that's a new tagline.
I want to ask about ages of kimchi, because that's another thing. Because you can eat very, you know, fast fermented kimchi, but then you can, you know, there's also aged kimchi. So kind of, I'd want to know about your experience with that.
Sure. So kimchi is, there's multiple different peaks. So there's the initial peak of freshness and fermented, where you still get the freshness of the vegetables, but you have that fermented. You have the lacto fermentation, so you get that the sourness and acidity, and usually that band lasts for about like 3 months, and it's pretty wide sweet spot, and then you can go like a year, and after a year, then it gets super, super funky, super sour. But then you can, like, there's kimchi that you can even go for, like, even longer, where it's like 3 years. And then it tends to, like, mellow out a little bit more. And then the consistency can also change, too, because the vegetable fibers will break down because it's been so long. So it's like, so a bit almost like kind of little, like, cheesier. So, yeah, it's super, super interesting. And one of the best things about kimchi, though, is that it never becomes unsafe to eat. So it's not like, you know, if in a perfect world we went on a vacation for a year, came back, saw a thing of kimchi in the fridge, it's going to be good to eat. You just, as long as you didn't, like, eat out of the jar, because that's, you know, you're introducing, like, harmful bacteria that might not be good for you and will spoil it. But as long as you do that, you can just throw it in a pot, throw some water in there, and cook and make kimchi jjigae, which is like the best thing ever.
What? Kimchi jjigae?
What is that? Wait, you have to elaborate on that.
I was just going to ask, what are your favorite ways to eat it?
Oh, so kimchi jjigae is kimchi soup, and so is anyone here vegetarian?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. All right.
Flexitarian.
I'm not talking to you, but
very flexitarian.
You can do mushrooms. So I'm just going to tell you what I like to do.
Let's do
is I like to brown some. I love pork neck bone because it's the meat there is so good and super cheap. So brown some of that up. Throw a little bit of kimchi, as much kimchi as you throw in, half the amount water, a little drizzle of sesame oil, eat it with rice. And if you're feeling sick, like as you're eating it, you feel your pores opening up and the next day whatever you had is knocked out. So it's my favorite meal by far.
Kimchi chica.
Kimchi soup, yes, yeah. Absolutely. And it sounds kind of disgusting, but you can use like star-kissed tuna in a pinch if you want some proteins in there. But tofu... mushrooms is great, but you don't even need to do any of that because just that. What I like to do is cut some potatoes and throw it in there, and it's just so good, and it's really satisfying, like surprisingly satisfying.
All that umami
sounds really good.
How do you feel about kimchi fried rice?
I love it.
All right, me too.
That's one of my, yes.
I'm a little obsessed with kimchi fried rice. It's true.
Yeah. Going back to the storage of kimchi. So I was scared when I'd open kimchi and then I wouldn't necessarily resubmerge the vegetable into the juices. And I'd come back to it maybe 2 weeks later. And I just, my own personal insecurities would be in a place where I was like, I don't know if I should go. Well, I didn't see any mold or anything like that, do you want to always make sure it's submerged, or do you think that the pH is low enough in the vegetables or itself if it's above?
When you were doing that, were you was this still room temperature, or did you have it?
It was in the refrigerator.
Oh yeah, so
totally fine.
With kimchi, it's not like sauerkraut, where sauerkraut it has to be submerged because you're fermenting it for such a long time in room temperature. So kimchi. I typically just let it ferment room temperature for a day, maybe two at the max. And then once it's in the fridge, above air, submerged, either way is fine. However, you do want to, in order to slow down the fermentation, you want to minimize the volume to surface to air ratio. So if you've got a half full jar, it's better to like put it in a smaller jar where it's exposed to less air.
Gotcha.
And that'll just slow it down. But if you want it to get funky like real quick, then put it in a frying pan and wrap some saran wrap around it.
And then also with kimchi, Korean pepper flakes are distinct, and there are different kinds. And what are you looking for in a Korean pepper flake and getting in? Do you have any brand recommendations for people or places?
Yeah, I mean, it's... I like color. Like the color is important, flavor is important. But what's so interesting is that, chili peppers are a new world food.
They're native to the Americas.
Exactly. And so, before Columbus came and like brought chili peppers back to Europe, and then it made it to Asia via the Silk Route. There. Kimchi, which is like 4,000 years old, there was no chili peppers in there. So from like 4,000 years ago until 14 whatever or 15, I don't know, give it a couple of years. Things were slow back then. So there were no chili peppers. And so in this weird way, kimchi is this American food. So and it's so funny because like when I talk to talk to my mom or aunt, they're like, oh yeah, the Korean chili pepper, oh, it's super special, oh, it's like this thing. I'm like, yeah, but it just came over from America. You just think of like, this is like a jalapeno or something that's like toned down. So yeah, I mean, they're regular. I don't know what are those regular peppers, like just pepper peppers,
not spicy ones, the bell peppers.
Not bell peppers, but like the little...
The dragon peppers, the Chinese dragon peppers?
Like the regular red peppers.
Super generic, pointy, looks like the top of a witch's hat.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, so those, I don't know if I think color is really important, like as far as me, because I'm making a product that, it's a commercial product, but some people like it spicier, so a lot of people really... we'll use add jalapenos into the mix too. And then fresh peppers is really great. Like if you get some fresh peppers, you blend it up, it just makes it so bright and vibrant. which, it's a good idea. You know, I can work on that.
And then your super, 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 super spicy kimchi, what's in that, and how do you treat them?
Oh, yeah. So that's...
I think there's super spice, 4 supers, I read.
Yes, yes. So I typically only make the super spicy kimchi, which is kimchi made with the ghost pepper, because some people aren't happy unless they're crying. But this Friday, I'm doing the Mama O's Premium Super, 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 Super Spicy Kimchi Eating Challenge, where let's go down 6 o'clock this Friday at the Mama O's Kimchi Lab in the Pfizer Building, 630 Flushing Ave, if you're in Bushwick.
Right by the JMZ train, right?
JMZ.
Flushing?
Flushing.
Yeah.
And G train. And did you say Z or G?
Z.
Z and, yeah.
Is Z still ZG. Running?
Yeah, Z runs during rush hour
sometimes.
It was the Jay-Z.
Yeah,
Jay-Z.
Yeah.
And this is going to be very, it's going to be super, 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 super spicy. It's a challenge if you can eat it and not drink water or milk or beer or suck on an ice cube for 5 minutes, then you'll win free kimchi for a year.
That's
a good prize.
So it's not that they have to eat so much kimchi in a certain time period, like you're...
Right.
Right? This is...
You have to swallow one bite?
Right. This is like... Yeah, you're going to have to eat like, you know, 2 pieces, I don't know, weigh it out, what, like 3 grams, something like that, and just not drink water. And, you know, we'll videotape it, make sure that, you know, that it's... You make the time limit. However, this is the catch. It's last man standing. So if you pass that and someone else passes that,
then you do
then
it again.
It's gonna get spicier.
Okay. Gotcha. That's
how do we watch?
That's amazing.
This?
Yeah. That's amazing, and that's awesome. So that's Friday, Friday the 24th.
This Friday, Pfizer Building. Yeah,
that's exciting. What are we going to hear from you at your seminar at the Fermentation Festival?
So I'm going to ask all the questions you wanted to know about kimchi, but were afraid to ask. So whatever you want to know, you know, is it an aphrodisiac? Can I put it in my car to ward away criminals? Anything. And no question is off limits, yes.
Is it and can I?
Yep. Awesome. So now your production at the Pfizer Building, How many states are you in? How much are you making these days? Since 2008 is when you started, right?
Yeah.
9 years. You got 10th anniversary
nine
planning?
Years. Yeah. Oh. let me get through this year.
Here's a reminder.
Well, you know, they say it takes 10 years to be an overnight success in the food biz. Mm-hmm. So I'm almost there. Almost there. I totally.
How many states? How wide is your reach? And is Mama O happy?
Yeah, Mama O is very happy. She's like, oh, fine, you're doing something with your life. You got a job. Great. I'm in Whole Foods from here to like Wisconsin, down to Virginia, and up to Maine.
That's awesome.
And so, just really working on like getting over to the West Coast and in the South and in the Midwest too. It's funny. It's a challenge because I have stores that are interested, but then I don't have a distributor. And then because I don't have a distributor, you know, it's kind of like the chicken or the egg,
right.
You know?
Yeah.
And so any distributors out there, West Coast, down South, holla. But at the same time, the most important thing for me is maintaining the quality. And so I just really want to keep the quality up and just keep making something good and do good at the same time.
I love it. And Rachel did some digging, so we understand why your mom's so proud. You used to be in a band. What was the band?
I hope no one gets offended. We're the B-tards.
And is there more than one band with that name?
What's that?
Is there more than one band with that name, or do you know Ukarsh?
No, Ukarsh, yeah.
Ukarsh, yeah, man, come on.
What?
Oh, friend. So he used to come through Sinsin all the time. So we
did
the Freestyle Mondays. I'm the bass player of Freestyle Mondays. Did you ever cover that?
Yeah.
Yeah, man. So
once again, it's a small New York City world that we live in.
So yeah, I'm the bass player for that. We've been doing that. We just had our 15-year anniversary the other day.
Yeah.
And played a big one the other day. It was pretty fun.
Yeah.
But we've been homeless for like a year.
Yeah. I remember, like, the Simpson days.
Yeah, dude.
Like,
nothing compares.
Oh, my God. That's so crazy.
So there is only one Beatard, and it's so great that
with UTK the INC. Now he's like a movie star, you know. Pitch Perfect, Ride Along 2, Barbershop 2.
Yep. He's doing well.
Yeah.
And he freestyles so well. He's such a great, talented artist.
It's insane. And this is a story I've never told before. But so our very first mixtape that we put out, there's a song that I played for him that I wanted him to sing on. I played it for him once. Once he listened to it. And then he freestyled a song over it, and we one-taked it.
Yep.
One-taked it. It was so insane.
He's awesome. That is good. That's awesome. You'd be charged.
That's crazy.
Well, how do we find out more about Mama O's Kimchi? First of all, Friday, go to the Pfizer building
and
challenge yourself.
At 6 p.m.?
At
6, is that what that says?
6:30.
Come through at 6 o'clock. It's going to be hilarious. It's going to be hilarious.
Mary and I had front row seats to the Kimchi Palooza Kimchi Off, and that was insane. KimchiRules.com.
KimchiRules.com.
Yeah. Come to the Fermentation Festival. Meet Keetum in the flesh.
Make some kimchi.
Make some kimchi. Make some kimchi. Yep. Make kimchi.
Not war.
Not make kimchi, exactly. Not war. Yeah. Mama is kimchi. It's not going to kill you. It doesn't. Hey, about it. Keetum, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.
Hey, everybody. I'm Nick Latham.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
Thing.